Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Well, let's go ahead and go over just a few quick announcements, and then we'll continue in our series here on royalty. If you want to open your Bibles, you can go to 1 Peter. Anybody remember where our scripture is? 1 Peter 1. Verse number 23. I had to make sure I remembered the scripture. Just some quick announcements. For Wednesday night, for our Bible study and our children's ministry, of course we have nursery and toddlers every Wednesday night. Faith Kids on Wednesday night will be in a series entitled Jesus Lives, and actually they're doing it now as well in the Faith Kids over here. But it's entitled Jesus Lives, and some of the things, well, 1 Peter 1, 3 is the scripture they're using, and it says, "Give praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth and a hope that is alive. It is alive because Jesus Christ rose from the dead." Now, the five lessons that they're going to learn over these next 5 weeks, just to kind of give you guys an idea if you got kids in there, because you know they have the homework sheets that they take home. You want to make sure you go over that with them. They do get candy if they bring it back filled out, but that's not the real reason why we do it, you know. We obviously want the scripture to get in them, amen. So, but it's the five different things is they're going to learn about are Jesus rose from the dead and defeated sin and death. Jesus forgave me and I need to forgive others. Jesus heals today. God sent the Holy Spirit to help me. And communion helps me remember what Jesus did for me. So those are the five things that they're going to be learning about over the next 5 weeks. And then also for adults, we are going to be starting a midweek study. We just finished up Good or God. How many enjoyed that one? I sure did. It really challenged me. But this next series, it's a little bit longer series, but it's called Parenting with a Purpose by Karen Jensen. And the first session will be is entitled God's Vision for Your Family. And it's a series, obviously, for parents, and we'd just invite you guys to come if you got some little rugrats in your house, or some big rugrats. Maybe you have big ones. They're teenage age or whatever. This is a great series of lessons. Also, I just want to mention this. This is a lady who actually had, I believe it was two boys, is that right? And her husband ended up passing away, and she ended up raising those two boys as a single mom. And so she's not just coming at this from the standpoint, in fact, I want to say she just recently got remarried or married. And this is not just coming from the standpoint of a two-parent perspective. This is a single-parent perspective too. So if you know somebody who would benefit from that, invite them to come. I mean, there's no cost for the Bible study. We'll have worksheets and answer questions. And then there's actually a worksheet that you go through and fill in the blank as you're going. And then at the end, I think there's one discussion question. And we'll be able to take questions. And if I can't answer them, I'll write it down and answer it later. But it's going to be really good. So for those who want help parenting, and if you're a grandparent, you can come and tell the parents, no, I'm just kidding, how to do it. Maybe you should just pray for the parents if you're grandparenting. All right. So the other thing that I wanted to announce was this. Every third Sunday, or the second to last Sunday of the month, I guess, my wife has teased me about this a couple of times, but the second to last Sunday of every month, we do communion. Well, what I'm going to start doing during worship time at some point, I don't know what it's going to look like, is I'm going to go ahead and have that first Sunday of the month, we're going to go ahead and have a time where we pray for the sick to be healed. Okay? Actually, let's do this. Go to Mark chapter 16. I want to show you this in the Bible because I don't want you to believe it just because I came up with it and thought it'd be a neat idea. I don't want you to believe it because Pentecostals do it or Word of Faith people do it or the Baptists do it, or you understand what I'm saying? This is not a denominational thing. This is a Bible thing. How many agree that the Bible is our source of doctrine? Amen? And the rule for why we do what we do. So Mark chapter 16, starting in verse 14, I'm going to read there. These are the two verses that I'm going to give you for this. It says this, Mark 16:14, it says, later he appeared to the 11, this is Jesus, as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart. How many would like that? Jesus came and ate with us. What did he do? He rebuked us. He chewed us out for having unbelief in our lives. Okay. Anyway, it says hardness of heart and unbelief because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world. Notice he rebuked them. He didn't kick them out of the church. You know, the Lord will correct you and then tell you to go do something for him. Oh, well, that's a thought. All right. So we need to grow up in the church. Amen. I need to grow up. I need to see this more the way Jesus does. But verse 15 says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the what? The gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved. And he who does not believe will accept them anyway. Know what it says in your Bible? What does it say? They'll be condemned. You have to believe. You can't get around that, okay? People are like, well, God's going to come back and we're all going to be together and hug each other. And nope. No, you got to believe. You got to trust in the Lord. Amen. Verse 17 says, and these signs, so these are signs, will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. That's a good thing. They will speak with new tongues. That's a really good thing. And they will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. That is not telling you to start dancing with snakes and drinking poison. Okay? All right? That's not what that's saying. It's talking about the power of the enemy and how we have authority over the power of the enemy. The Lord protects us. Amen? All right. And then it says this, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Who said that? Jesus said that. Jesus said these signs follow who? The apostles. Come on. Those who believe. All right, I just want to make sure, because there are some people that think God died with the apostles. I'll let you think about that for just a second. There are some people who think that God quit being God because the apostles are no longer here. Never mind, there's no scripture for that, okay? But there are some people that think that way, and really, and this goes back to what we've talked about before, but it's because people have been religiously brainwashed instead of Bible taught, amen? All right, so we want to be Bible taught. So we can lay hands on the sick and these signs will follow. They will recover, and that word means healed. So let's go to James, the book of James. And this is what we're going to practice right here. You know, I've been in all kind of services. I've told you this before, but I've been in the Episcopal church because my grandparents went to the Episcopal church. And let me say this, their priest was named Father John, okay? And he was a missionary, a wonderful man. He was a missionary to Africa. He is now, actually. And do you know, he's baptized in the Holy Ghost? That is just amazing. And here, he's an Episcopal priest. And he said, and he was giving testimony to my grandpa, and he was talking about how they lay hands on the sick over there and see him recover. That they cast devils out of people and they see him recover, see him set free. And that's just awesome. The Episcopals can do it too. Right? What are you saying? I'm saying, don't get wrapped up in the titles. Get wrapped up in the gospel. Amen. Yeah. All right, James, this is the second scripture that we're going to stand on for praying for the sick. Chapter number 5. I never want to assume we know these things. Verse number 14 says this, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will what? Save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. That's a great prayer right there. You're getting healed and forgiven. Okay? So that's what we're going to practice. You say, what do you mean by that? I have a bottle of anointing oil. Okay, right here. Now, the oil is just a symbol of the Holy Ghost. Really, really doesn't do anything. It's just a point of contact. So what we're going to do is we're going to anoint people with oil and pray the prayer of faith over them. Now, let me say this. I'm going to do it specifically the first Sunday of each month during worship. But if you ever need prayer, call. Come. Come to the elders. You know what I mean? Come. Mike can pray. Joel can pray. In fact, if the person sitting next to you knows how to pray, they can pray. because we can all pray the prayer of faith. But specifically, this is something that the elders are called to do, or the pastors in this particular verse. So we want to make it available to you, okay? I heard about a man, this was years ago, was in a service, and he was, I don't know if he was Lutheran. I don't remember what he was raised. But every once a month they had, or once every so often, they'd have the ministers pray for the sick and anoint him with oil. Well, this guy had AIDS. He had AIDS. Because he, before he got saved, he lived it up. You know? How many know that's a pretty bad disease? Okay? But is there anything too tough for God? I wonder if we could find an enemy bigger than God. No, there isn't one. Okay? So he had AIDS. So he went to this. Now, this is a pretty strict church. Very structured, very ordered. And he went up to the front for prayer. And he stood there. He was in the military before he was in the business world. And so he stood there like this. And the priest, you know, put the oil on his head and prayed for him and then went on. Just laid his hands on him and prayed for him and went on. He said it felt like that oil was like on fire. But he didn't know what to do, so he just stood there. You know, he just gutted it out. You know what I mean? He went back to the doctor and guess what? No more AIDS. Yeah. Why? God's just that good. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. Amen. And the Lord will what? Raise him up. The idea there, if you look in the background of the, and you study concordance things and different things like that, if you do that, I do, but if you wanted to look at, the idea is this person's on their deathbed. And they're raised up off their deathbed. Amen. God's good. Amen. So we're going to start practicing that so you can gear yourself up. If you know somebody who's sick, bring them. We'll pray for them. So not next Sunday, but the Sunday after. But then also anytime after the service, if you want us to pray, we can pray for you. We are ready to go. So let's go to 1 Peter and we'll pray. You think you can learn something in 30 minutes? All right. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the Word. You know, life can go upside down, but if you got the Word, you're good. You're stable. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says this, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Somebody say incorruptible. Through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we approach your word. Father, I yield myself to you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would speak through me. Lord, you've called me to pastor. You've placed a gift inside of me to minister your word, and it's by your grace. It's nothing that I've done, but Lord, I yield that gift to you. Lord, by the Holy Spirit, make plain what it is that you want us to see today. I yield my mind. I yield my tongue. Lord, we purpose as a group to hear from you. Lord, we open our hearts wide to your word, not just to man's opinions, not just to what we might think, but to your word. And Father, we say, speak to us. And we know that as you do, our lives, our paths will be enlightened, that our feet, we will see where we're supposed to go. We'll see if we're walking down a wrong path and make a change onto your path. Because your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, you said the path of the just is like the rising of the sun. It shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. So, Father, we head toward the perfect day. We head toward a bright, bright path, which is you. You are the light of the world. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're our teacher. Speak to us, we ask, in Jesus' name. And everybody that agreed said, amen. Okay, we're talking about royalty. Okay? Being born of immortal seed. And we talked about the definition of immortal. Immortal means it can't die. Immortal. Mortality means dying. Death. Okay? Immortality means death can't touch you. Okay? Now, in and of yourself, you're great. In fact, even in your unsaved condition, when you were living in the world or you didn't know the Lord thought you were, there was such a price to be paid for you and so precious that he gave his son to die for you. That makes you pretty special, amen? And the Lord is that way. He loves that much. But inside of you, there was nothing intrinsically good. You know, people say, well, I was good. You know, I can just be good on my own. Compared to what? If the standard is God, how good could you be? Okay? So the standard's God. So what God and the Lord and the Holy Spirit decided, hey, we got to redeem these people back because they've lost their righteous nature in the sin of Adam and Eve, and now they've received a nature that is of the enemy, and we got to get a new nature in them. You know, this is the one major dividing line between the Old Testament and the New Testament. I mean, I'm sure there are probably others, but this is kind of the main thought. You can do what's right and be wrong inside. What about Judas? Was Judas in a place where he was right inside? No, but he went around with Jesus and did a whole bunch of good. Right? Doing things externally does not change you internally. There's only one who can get inside your spirit and change you. God. And so what happened was, and we see this right here in 1 Peter 1:23, you were born of incorruptible, immortal seed. Because you were actually born, and that word seed, the idea is a seed, but it has to do with DNA. In your spirit, and we talked about this because we looked at these two different things. We talked about that you are a spirit and you live in a body. Remember that? Remember the Minecraft hat that I had on, all right? Or the hand in the glove, right? You are actually inside of you. We talked about how Peter and Paul referred to their body as a what? A tent. Now, if I'm inside of a tent, does that make me the tent? No, I'm just inside the tent. I just live inside the tent. And that's what's happening with you right now. You're looking through your tent, which is your body. So that when you make the decision, I'm not living on the planet anymore, I'm out of here, you will leave your body and go to be with the Lord. You won't die. Your body will. But don't worry about it. Jesus come back. He's going to make it immortal. You'll get it back. People are like, I don't want it back in this condition. Trust me. When he gets through with it, you'll want it back. You'll want it back. How many have read about Jesus after he was raised from the dead? He walked through walls. That's cool. I'm going to do that. All right? That is what, I mean, if anything, it's worth it to be saved, to be able to walk through walls. You know what I mean? So you were born of immortal seed. You were born of a seed that cannot die. So don't fear death because you've already been translated out of death into life. You've already got the nature of God in you. And no, you know what? The devil can't beat God. You say, and I'm God. No, but you're his child. Jesus was the firstborn among what? Many brethren. He was the firstborn. I don't know where I'm at in the mix, but I'm somewhere down the line. I would like to know who the secondborn was. Someday, I'll find out. But Jesus was the first. He came out of death. Then somebody else came out of death. You know the devil hated that day? He went, oh man, I thought I killed him. All I did was multiply him. Some of you will get that more as we go on. He multiplied the Lord's body is what he did. In what looked like defeat was the greatest victory that has ever happened. Do you know there are people all over this planet that are different race, different color, different nationality, different part of the world, but yet they're your brother and sister? Heaven's going to be a blast, man. And it won't be segregated. It's going to be great. You hang out with every culture. It's going to be awesome. Anyway, so I don't want to think about that too much. I got a lot of work to do down here. All right. So how do we know what is in the seed? If you want to write that down, that's where we're going to start this morning. What's my first
vegetable, Joel? Beans? Okay. How do we know what's in the seed? Yeah, you can. Those are beans. They're actually tricolor pole beans. Green, yellow, and purple. Found that on the internet. All right. You are born of what? Divine, immortal seed. Okay. Can we tell what is in a seed just by looking at the seed? No, we can't. Now, believe it or not, this right here becomes that. Does this look like that? Does this look like a tricolor? Now I forgot the name. Pole bean? Is that what that looks like? It doesn't look like that, does it? But in the proper environment, this will become that. Now, people say, I'm supposed to look like Jesus. Yeah. But when you start out, you look like this. You look like a bean. How about moms, when you got pregnant? Did your child, when it was conceived, look like... No, it actually kind of looks like a bean. But as the bean grows, it begins to take on what it's supposed to look like. Now, let's take it all the way back. You were born of immortal seed. Well, my life doesn't really look like Jesus. Just stay in the right environment. Come on. The Bible says that, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 1, but he said this, or it's either 1 or 3, somewhere in there. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You've got immortal seed in you. It's just at times people don't see it because, not because God's not doing His part, because a lot of times we don't keep it in the right environment. But you have been born of immortal seed. Okay, let's go to the next one, Joel. And actually, I'll just do this too. I don't know if the color of the bean coming out varies with the seed or not. Or the actual bean that, or the seed part of it. But this produces that same tricolor bean. And then so does this one. But how? It's interesting. Inside of this is not that, but something like that. Yeah, inside of this is that. Inside of you is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It'll make you get sassy with the devil when you begin to realize who's in you. Because what's he going to do? Kill you? You're immortal. How many ever seen the movie The Avengers with the Hulk? Oh man, you got to watch that movie. Maybe not with your little kids, but you could probably watch it. You know where the Hulk fights Loki? Do you remember that part? Yeah. Loki stands up, and this is just like the devil. He says, enough! I mean, the Hulk's just kicking his rear end all over the place, okay? Of course, the Hulk is just a rageaholic, so... But he's just whooping him all over the place. And Loki stands up, and he goes, I am a god! This is just like the devil. This is enough. I am a god. And he's just going off about you puny little humans. And he's halfway through his little speech and the Hulk grabs him and just starts slamming him into the concrete all over the place. And then at the end of the scene, it goes, it shows Loki this guy, and he goes, and the Hulk walks away and goes, some god. That's how we ought to treat the devil. We ought to just walk away and go, some god. You're not anything. You're not, I'm born of immortal seed. According to Ephesians 2:6, I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I don't just do good, I was born good. And I don't just obey rules, I live out of the correct nature on the inside of me. This is what it means to be born again. All your good works can amount to nothing if they don't come from the love and the nature of God. According to 1 Corinthians 13. But you know what the good news is today? Our works are going to amount to a lot because they're going to come straight out of the God seed inside of us. The immortal seed. What you're going to find out in this series is that you have the ability to conquer every impatience, every depression, not just in yourself in the sense of, oh yeah, I'm just going to muscle it. No, you have the ability of God in you to do all things. You can do them through Christ, not in your own strength. You're going to stop trying and just start being. Yeah, I've heard it said like this, and it's true. And actually, Joel said it to me the other day. We're not human doings. We are human beings. Why do you, Sean, why do you do good? Because good lives in me. Why are you going to pray for the sick? Because the one who prayed for the sick, his seed lives in me. This is so exciting because where we end up is in a place of victory over things that have frustrated us for years. I'm not trying to be immortal. I am in the Spirit, already done. My body will catch up later. Now, I don't have time to go over all the scriptures on that. I'm not sure I could find them all right now anyway, just off the cuff. But I just stated to you many scriptures. Okay? All right, what was my next one? Oh, yeah. Jewel-toned beets. Red, gold. Somebody said they're gross. Candy stripe. That sounds pretty good, actually. Candy stripe. I think it might be misleading, but this is that. Can you see it? Oh, you'll love the next one then. I think they actually dyed the next one so you didn't lose them in your hand. That is that. And in this seed, in the proper environment, will always produce beets. Actually, specifically, jewel-toned beets. Red, gold, and candy stripe. Always. Okay, let's look at another one. Let's do the next one, Joel. Garden candy. That's what this one's. Tricolor. Apparently I was into three colors. Tricolor cherry tomatoes. Oh, this is good. I like this. If I can get a hold of it. Okay, I think I got it. Okay, yeah, I did. I got it. And I even got small hands. Okay, that? That, can you see that, kind of? We need a camera or something so we can zoom in and put it on a... Okay, that becomes that. Everything that is necessary for a tomato to be produced, a tricolor tomato, is inside of here. Man, inside of there? Yep, inside of there. Everything that is necessary to produce that vegetable is inside of here. Listen, God is preaching in everything that He made. He said in Genesis, seed time and harvest will never end. Do you see the growth of the seed when you plant it in the ground? Do you dig it up every day? Wonder if it's growing. I wonder if it's growing. Wonder if it's growing. This is interesting too. Who knew you could preach off a packet of seeds? And this is what we're going to end up heading into. The best time to plant the jewel beets, the jewel tone beets, is in February through June or August through September. The best location is full sun. Do you know that's the best location for you? S-O-N. Full sun. Depth, planting depth, half inch. Now, I don't know what the planting depth for you is when it comes to immortal seed, but it's got to be in there good. In the soil of your heart. Amen? Space the seeds 1 inch. Now, we don't have to worry about that because everything that you needed was found in one seed. Days to germinate, 5 to 10. Days to harvest, approximately 55. Now, I don't know when the Lord's going to harvest you. But there are principles there that tie into your Christianity. We should see a certain amount of growth from you as a Christian after a certain amount of time. But everybody's at different stages. And what we'll see with this as we go on is that there's actually, spiritual growth is compared to the growth of a baby. It's compared to a lot of things. But what we need to understand initially is you are born of immortal seed. And what is inside you that is Christ, everything that you need necessary to come to fullness, to come to maturity, lives inside of you right now. And because that nature changed, if for some reason a person got born again, let's say in another country where obviously Christians are being persecuted very strongly, if a person got born again and was killed the next day, they already have the nature of heaven in them, so they go right into heaven. You realize this is why people who are not born again don't go to heaven? You would be in a world that would be unfamiliar to you. You would want to do things that were not in line with the atmosphere of what's there. That's salvation. It's not just that you get into heaven, it's that the nature of heaven lives in you, and since you have that nature, it gives you key or access to heaven. You think God's going to let sin run around in heaven? Nope. Nope. He's not. All right. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. We'll hit this point, and then we'll call it. We got just a few minutes here. Everybody doing all right? Did you already learn something? Good. Something to take and think about. Ephesians chapter 3. I want to start right here. And this is something that you're going to see from me. I'm going to go back to this and back to this. I may do it from different scriptures and different ways, but it's got to be hit over and over again because the enemy attacks us so hard. So the first thing we must do in regards to understanding that we're born of a mortal seed is we must believe we can understand the Word of God. That's the first thing. How many ever read a scripture and immediately thoughts are coming to you? What does that mean? I don't know what that means. Or you look at something and you read something and you think, you've said to yourself, I just don't think I'll ever get that. You don't want to do that. You want to make sure that you believe that you can get it. Now, people learn because of good teachers. You have the best teacher with you, the Holy Spirit. He is called the teacher. Okay? So anybody, I don't care, people say, well, I didn't get good grades in high school or grade school. Neither did I. I didn't get good grades at all. I think it was mostly because I was bored, but because I wanted to move. I didn't want to sit still. But what's that got to do with your ability to learn? I've told this before, and I may get in trouble for this, but my older brother, till this day, cannot spell very well. He just can't. He's written me notes before. I'm like, dude, I'm going to go through with the written, and I don't even spell that well. You know what I mean? Lord bless him. Okay. So, but anyway, he's just not good at that. In school, man, he struggled. he struggled so bad, and they put him in slow classes and this class and that and that, you know, all this stuff. But man, when he got out of school, you know, he was a project manager for Cop Construction. Not just a superintendent, a project manager. He put in a city in Utah, he put in a $30 million sewage and water system. $30 million, and got it done months in advance. Now, when they did that, and this is so interesting to me, this just proves some of these things to me. It's a matter of how you learn, not whether you can or not. You know what I mean? A lot of times. The majority of the time, I would say. But they flew him to Texas to go to and take a class on how to set up this system. Okay? Now, this is a sewage system and a water system for a city, not for your backyard. I mean, it's massive. You're talking about concrete being poured all day, all day, all day. Sometimes day and night, day and night, day and night to build these tanks that they need. And he's organizing all this stuff. Yet he can't spell very well. He can't read very well. So he goes and takes this class. He got it in 2 days. He was supposed to be there a week. He left after 2 days and built the whole thing. And he's sitting with guys that have degrees. You know, big time education. They have diploma. They got degrees on their wall. Not that I'm diminishing that. I mean, that's obviously a way that people learn as well. But he could look at it and get it. But if you tried to have him read words and try and get it, that it just didn't work for him. He had to be in there doing it. You know? But he learned it. So you say, why do you say that? Don't believe you're stupid. Don't believe that mess. You have the mind of Christ. You're bright. We know that the Hebrew children in the Old Testament were 10 times smarter than the rest of the boys that they were around. Why? God increased their intelligence. You say, well, I don't know if he can increase mine. God can do, there is no hard case for God. Don't talk dumb, talk smart. No, I'm going to get this. I'm going to see it. I'm going to understand it. If there's something you're struggling with at work, don't stand over it and go, I don't know. I just don't know. I just don't know. No, just say, Lord, help me see this the way you do. And then go do something else that you know to do and then come back to it. I guarantee you the Lord will help you. I do it all the time. Because there are things that in construction, you just got to kind of, you're going and you're like, nobody has a solution. You got to come up with one. Well, the Lord will help you. So believe that you can understand the word. Ephesians 3 is where we're going to nail this one down. Verse number 1 says this. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already. Now, how did Paul receive the understanding of Christ in you? It was by revelation. Who gave it to him? The Lord. The Lord gave it to him by revelation. Now, we are not receiving new revelations today. Did you know that? People are like, yeah, I receive them. Nope. This is the revelation right here. Now, we will receive understanding about the revelation. What are you saying? There are no new books to the Bible. Amen. Okay, just be aware of that, because it's common. People believe, oh, they had a vision of an angel. Jesus, or Paul said, if an angel comes and preaches another gospel, don't receive it. I mean, how plain can it get? Okay? All right, always take it back to the Word. I just want to make sure. Okay, I care about you. All right, so he received it, and then he said this in verse 4, by which when you, what? Read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Paul didn't write this letter so he could impress you with his revelation of Jesus Christ. He wrote the letter so that you could walk in the revelation. People that just want to impress you with what they know, they're just arrogant. I said they're arrogant. And their motivation is wrong. Paul's motivation was not, oh, look what I wrote. Look at me. It was before he got saved. Because he was moving up the ranks of the religious leadership of his day. But after he had a revelation of Jesus Christ, he began to have such love for people that he said, man, I got to write this down. I got to push through these trials and tribulations so that I can bring this truth to the people. I wrote it down so why? You could understand it. You are, say it with me, I am made to understand Christ in me. You are made for it. You are made for it. I'll read it to you in the New Living Translation. It says this, as I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. I love this. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. The Passion Translation says this, so that whenever you read it, you will be able to understand my revelation and insight into the secret mystery of the Messiah. The Message says this, I got the inside story on this from God himself, as I just wrote to you in brief. As you read over what I have written to you, you'll be able to see for yourselves into the mystery of Christ. Who's going to see it? You. Well, the pastor is going to do all the studying for me, and then I'll vicariously live with my relationship with God through them. Wrong. You will live in your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. There is one mediator between God and man, and it is Christ Jesus. And you can go right to the throne yourself because you're born of immortal seed. Somebody say glory to God. You don't have to wait. Yesterday, I'm in the store walking around, and I had some challenging things that I was dealing with. I was praying about them, just being quiet about them, you know. And I'm walking in Albertsons, and I guess I said it out loud, but I just said, thank you, Lord. As I was walking down the aisle, Kylie looks at me and goes, what'd you say? Why? I'm talking to him. Now, I'm not telling you have to go up and down the aisles of Albertsons and say, thank you, Lord, okay? No, I just did it because it's just a habit. Because you know what? You probably know this, but I really believe I'm talking to him. And that I hear from him. People are like, oh, but yet they'll believe in UFOs and aliens. You know, it's crazy. Pixie dust and Peter Pan. And but I can't believe in God. That might be nuts. Or it's sanity. Amen? Stand with me, please. Did you get something this morning? Good. Hallelujah. I got to say this right over here. This is Pastor Rusty and Krista Phelan. They're from Miles City, Montana. They pastor Breakforth Bible Church, Miles City. And great friends of ours, Heidi and I. And love ministering with them. They're good people. So if you're ever in Miles City, Breakforth Bible Church, Miles City, on a Sunday, you got to pass through there. So thanks for coming, guys. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much. Lord, you're so good to us. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord. Father, we thank you for this word that we heard this morning. Oh, man. God, you're so good to us. Thank you. Just tell him thank you. Just say thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, we're so thankful that you are giving us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, of understanding into the revelation that you've brought to us. Lord, in this church, we're going to understand who we are in Christ. We won't be taken advantage of unnecessarily or by ignorance, because you're revealing truth to us. And we're so thankful for it, Lord. Father, I just thank you that as we go forth this week, Lord, that we will be conscious of immortal seed. Holy Spirit, that you'll bring all things back to our remembrance about what we've heard this morning. And we will do it. We will be a doer of your word, not just a hearer only. And the blessing of the Lord will be upon us in our obedience by your grace and by your ability. We thank you that we have a new nature. Lord, I bless your people in Jesus' name. I thank you that you go with them, you never leave them or forsake them, that your angels encamp round about them. We say blessing over their families, blessing over their kids, blessing over their finances and their bodies in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. We'll be here Wednesday night for Bible study and then again next Sunday.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.